this starting at 9:30. We'll have Bible classes, and then after that, a worship assembly. And tonight, we're going to be meeting again in the building at Eastside, 5 o'clock. That's at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're in the Athens area, 9:30 this morning, 5 o'clock this afternoon, we'd love for you to visit with us. And if you're not able to do that, catch us online. We stream our services and the sermons and the classes on Facebook and also on our website at eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. You can go there and click on the media tab and go to the live streaming and watch from there. So lots of ways to get connected with us. But the main thing is find a way to glorify God today in a way that he approves of and appreciates. And that's really one of the main reasons he created us, right? So that we could come to love him and adore him and have a relationship with him and demonstrate that love in real ways like worship. And we are excited to be able to do that today at Eastside. I want you to be with us if you can be. Well, if you look at the world today, there's plenty of problems going around, from health problems to political problems, socioeconomic problems, all sorts of problems, personal problems that folks have. And a lot of those problems, I believe, probably get back to a lack of respect for authority. Now, not all of them, but some of them do. And we're living in a land where authority isn't very highly respected. It's not too well thought of, to say the least. And there are folks that are rioting in the streets against authority, and that's on both sides of the political spectrum. You know, we have some on the left and some on the right that are rioting in the streets in disrespect for the law. That's just a common thing that we're seeing in our society today. We have efforts underway to defund police departments, or in some cases do away with police departments, and say what you will, I think some of that, at least maybe a lot of it, just gets back to a lack of respect for authority in our culture. And that's a problem, because if we're going to walk the way that leads to life, we need to accept the authority of Jesus Christ and of our God and Father. And if we're not going to accept his authority, we're not going to be able to walk the way that leads to life. But what we don't understand, I think, the connection that we haven't made sometimes, is that his authority, the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, is tied to all authority. And if anybody has any legitimate authority, it really flows from Jesus Christ. And so respecting his authority would cause us to respect other true authority as well. And we'll be talking about that some this morning. But I can tell you this, the Bible says that wicked people despise authority. People who are not right with the Lord, who are doing evil, they don't like authority at all. That's one of the characteristics of them. The Apostle Peter writes about that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. He writes about those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So look at that description. Here are people who, you know, they're unclean, they're walking in lust, and they're just not good people. And one of their characteristics is they despise authority. Another is that they speak evil of dignitaries. A dignitary is somebody who is, you know, of higher position than you are. So people tend to do that, don't they? And evil people, particularly, that's a hallmark of their character. They'll speak evil of whoever, but especially those who are over them, who are in higher positions than they are. So we need to understand again that true regard for authority in all aspects of life is necessary to please God. Respecting authority is respecting God. So one of the questions that we see raised to Jesus in his life was a question regarding his authority. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, Jesus had gone into the temple, and it says he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. So there were people doing things in the temple they weren't supposed to be doing, and Jesus basically cleared that out. Then you can read in Matthew 21 and verse 23 that the next day when he came into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching, saying, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" People wanted to know what right, what authority did Jesus have to do and say the things he was doing and saying. That's a legitimate question. It's a good question. we ought to be concerned with whether or not somebody has the authority to do and say the things they're doing and saying. I can remember several years ago, I was with a tennis team on a local tennis court, and on the tennis court, there's a sign for tennis only, no skateboarding, that sort of thing. So I was trying to get my team out on the court, and there were some guys skateboarding on the tennis court, and I said, "Hey, you guys need to get off the court." And they said, "Well, who are you to tell us that?" You know, right? Well, first of all, I had a sign to back me up, and I guess I could have called the police or something like that. But they were asking, what authority did I have to tell them to get off the court? We want to know, if somebody's telling us something to do, what authority do they have to do that? What right do they have to say that? Jesus had all authority, as we'll see in a minute. He had the right to do what he was doing. But the question that was asked of him is really a good question. What authority, by what authority are you doing these things? It was a question that was also asked of the apostles. In Acts chapter 3, you might remember the story that the apostle Peter and John were going into the temple to pray, and they run across a man who was lame. And Peter, by the power of God, heals this man of his lame condition. And then a little later on, after the apostles are arrested, and they're brought before the council, and they set them in the midst of the council in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. And the council asks, by what power or in what name have you done these things? In other words, by what authority have you done these things? Who said you could go in the temple and heal people and preach and all that sort of thing? So people want to know, by what authority? By what authority? All legitimate authority, as we've said and have been saying, flows from Christ. And the reason is that he has all authority. Matthew 28:18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, that's all the authority there is, right? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has all of it. And since he has all of it, he is the one who can direct us in the way that leads to life. And he is the only one that can direct us in the way that leads to life. He has that level of authority. There are a couple of passages I'd like us to think about along this line. You know, this program is called The Way That Leads to Life. And we are trying to help folks walk that way. But only Jesus can lead us. Only Jesus can direct us. In John chapter 5 and verse 26, Jesus said, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Jesus has life in himself, and he has authority to execute judgment, a judgment about who's going to go into life and who's not going to go into eternal life. Jesus has all of that power. According to his own statement, if you believe in Jesus, you must believe in his authority. In John 17, in verse 1, Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. He begins a prayer to the Father in John 17, and he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." Wow, listen to that statement. Listen to that statement of Jesus Christ, the declaration that he makes. God the Father had given him all authority, authority over all flesh, so that he could give eternal life to whoever God had given him. Jesus has that kind of authority and that kind of power. Now, the point I'm making is, yeah, Jesus has that legitimate authority, but anybody else then that has authority comes under his authority. He is ultimately the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is over everybody who has any authority of any kind. That includes governments, for instance. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Do you know that was in the Bible? So that the authorities that we have, the governmental authorities that we have, are actually under the authority of God himself. And they were authorized to do what they do by God himself through Jesus Christ, who has all authority. So to obey government then, to obey the laws of our land, to respect the rule of law in our land, is to respect God. We need to understand that. People who just rail against the laws of the land and disrespect them and refuse to obey them and live lawless lives and don't care anything about the rule of law, it's not just you know, the laws of a country that you're violating, not just the authority of the political powers that you're, you know, railing against, but it's the authority of God himself who has put our government into place. I think we need to understand that. But the same thing is true in our homes. Husbands have headship over the wives. Wives are told in Ephesians 5:22, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so that's the order of things that God has ordained in the home. God has ordained that parents be over the children in the home. Children aren't supposed to be over the parents. Parents have authority over the children. God designed that. And so children are to obey their parents, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. They're to obey their parents in the Lord. The Lord is the one who set up this relationship. So governments have authority because Jesus gave it to them. Husbands have authority. Parents have authority because Jesus gave it to them. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You understand what we're talking about? We're talking about who has authority and how they got it. And those who have authority that's legitimate all receive that authority from and through Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to spiritual matters, one of the things that's important for us to understand this morning is that the apostles have authority because Christ gave it to them. I'm going to go over in my Bible to John chapter 16. And this is a discussion that Jesus has with his apostles. In fact, the night that he was betrayed, just before he was crucified, some of the last things that he tells them before his crucifixion are found in these chapters in the book of John. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, he has promised them that he's going to send to them the Holy Spirit. And he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you apostles, and he's going to tell you things that are from me that I got from the Heavenly Father. So this chain of authority comes straight through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, down to the apostles. And the apostles are speaking when they speak by inspiration with the authority of God himself that is given them by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So when we read the things the apostles wrote and the things the apostles said in our New Testaments, we're looking at the authority of Christ being displayed. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, Jesus had asked his disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter had responded, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter had said, you know, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So the rock of the church is the identity of Jesus Christ, that he is truly the Son of God, that he is the one who has this authority. But the next thing he tells Peter is this, Matthew 16 and verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That sounds like a lot of authority. Who's it given to? It's given on this occasion directly to Peter, but also all of the apostles are included in the same promise in Matthew 18 and verse 18. So apostolic authority is actually authority that comes from Jesus Christ. When we're reading the words the apostles and prophets of Jesus wrote, and when we read what they said in the New Testament, it's just not their words then. They're speaking with the authority of Jesus Christ. These aren't just merely the words of men. These were given them by the Holy Spirit. And they have God's authority behind them. So later on, Peter would write, for instance, in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, telling those to whom he's writing, he says, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Pay attention, in other words, to what the apostles have said, because those are authoritative words. The Apostle Paul as he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Again, such a powerful statement about the authority of the apostles. So what have we learned today so far? Well, we've learned that there are a lot of problems in our world because people don't respect authority. We've learned that all true authority comes from God to Jesus. And then everybody who has authority is under the authority of Jesus Christ, under his kingship and lordship. And so that kind of brings us to a bigger point that we want to think about. When we disrespect authority, we dishonor God. Whose authority is being questioned or ignored or disrespected when we disrespect authority? Well, ultimately, it's God's authority. So rejecting legitimate authority, therefore, will result in condemnation. I'm going to go over in the New Testament to the book of Jude, and I'd like to read a few verses to you here. I mentioned this passage a little bit earlier when we started out this morning, but I want to read Jude starting in verse 4 and going through verse 8. Jude talks about certain men, he says, that have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our Lord into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's describing men who are just very wicked and they deny the Lord. They didn't deny his lordship. They deny his authority. Let's go on, verse 5. He says, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, have given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. All right, so the apostle is describing folks who are wicked, who disrespect authority. And he uses three comparisons from the Old Testament. First of all, the Israelites, although they were saved out of Egypt because they didn't obey God and didn't respect his authority in the wilderness, they were destroyed, those that did not believe. And then the angels who did not keep their proper domain, he says. Angels did not keep their place in the organization chart, so to speak. You know, that organizational chart that you may have in your place of work or business where some people are over other people. Well, there are certain angels that didn't respect that. They didn't keep their proper domain. In other words, they didn't respect authority. They got out of line. They didn't stay in their lane. Right? And so they did what they wanted to do, and because of that, they were condemned. This is a classic example, and it's an example that Jude is using for us here to show what it means to disrespect authority and how God views that. And he says the angels that did that, they're put in chains in judgment, waiting for judgment. It doesn't sound like they're in a very good position right now because they failed to respect authority. And then he also talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, who respected God's authority concerning the morality of their lives. And as a result, of course, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Yet, we read passages like this, and really this concept is all through the Bible, the need to respect the authority of God. We read passages like this, and yet sometimes it just sort of runs off us like water off a duck's back. We don't really let it sink in. Rejecting legitimate authority results in this kind of condemnation, but we rationalize rejecting authority, usually all the while claiming to respect it. So what a lot of folks in the world today do is they accept authority as long as they agree with it. The rules are fine if I agree with them. But if I don't agree with the rule, then I'm free to do what I want. That's the attitude a whole lot of people in this world have today in all kinds of walks of life. And that is disrespect of authority. Just because you don't like what the boss said doesn't mean that you're free to disrespect that or disregard it. You know, he's still the boss. Just because you don't like the speed limit doesn't mean that you're free to disregard that. You know, a lot of us don't like speed limits sometimes or whatever, rules that are established by civil authorities. We may not care for those rules. But if we're to respect the authority of God, we have to respect the authority of the rules of those who God has given authority. It's a really simple principle. A lot of us, maybe in our teenage years, had this attitude that, well, you know, if I rebel against authority, it's a good thing. And in fact, I think sometimes kids think that's their right to rebel against authority, and that's going to lead to their freedom. Obviously, that didn't work out for a lot of teenagers. And it's rather than rebelling against authority, but learning to respect authority is what leads to freedom, truly, both in the social world and the spiritual world. We just can't keep on thinking that way. So we have these sort of subtle areas of our lives where authority is over us, imposing rules upon us. And as I mentioned, it might be the speed limit laws. It might be the tax laws. It could be the policy handbook at work. It could be your husband. It could be parents or a boss or a police officer or a governor. And whoever it might be who God has put in authority, we need to be really cautious about disrespecting or disregarding that. Now, we do understand this, and I'll give this one proviso. There are times when people who God has placed in authority make rules that are against God's laws, against his authority. And the Bible tells us that we need to obey God rather than men. So if the rules of men and the rules of God conflict, of course, we go with what God says. That's what the book of Acts teaches us. But beyond that, our problem is this individualistic pride and self-will that so many of us have trouble with, wanting to be the ones who have the say-so about everything. We think that we get to determine what's right and wrong. We think that we get to decide if we're going to obey a rule or not. And we think that's okay to operate that way. Well, you can, but God's not going to be pleased with it is the point, and it's not the way that leads to life. And that's what we're talking about. The way that leads to life, ultimately, then, is the way that respects the authority of Jesus Christ in all areas. And if we're not doing that, he is the one who has the authority to give life. He is the one. We've already seen that in our lesson this morning. We can't have that kind of an attitude. Again, most of us are fine with authority as long as, you know, we're the ones who are in authority or it serves our interests or the policy helps us. We say, well, you know, I'm good going along with authority as long as I agree and it makes sense. If I think, say, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, that doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to do it. Again, that's just disregarding authority. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean you're not obligated to do it if the authority over you is legitimate. There may be things in the Bible that don't make sense to you. There may be things that Jesus said that don't make sense to you. You know, Jesus said if someone slaps you on the cheek, you're supposed to turn to him the other cheek. Does that make sense? Well, to a lot of people it doesn't, but that's still what Jesus said, and he's the one who has all authority. So we need to do what Jesus said instead of what necessarily makes sense to us. And if we follow him long enough, we'll learn that his ways really do make sense. See, the thing is that it's not all about us. We think it is. We say, I don't want to be under authority. I want to be over authority, right? That's our problem. We want to be over the authority. We think the issue is what is being done. If I do not like what I'm being told to do, I can challenge it. If what I'm being told does not make sense to me, I can forget about it. If I get caught, I'll tell you what a bad rule that was anyway. And we have this attitude that we are our ultimate authority. You know, if I disagree with something, I'm free to disobey. That's what we tell ourselves. It's kind of like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. Moses went to Pharaoh and told him, God said, let my people go. The Lord said, has let my people go. And Pharaoh said in Exodus 5 and verse 2, who is the Lord that I should obey him, right? who's God? Why should I have to do what he says? And doesn't that just sound like something folks say today just all the time? Why should I have to do what he says? Well, if he's in authority, whoever he is, if it's the Lord, he has all authority. And so you have to do what he says, if you understand what authority is. If he has put somebody in authority over you, you have to do what that person says. It's as simple as that. We should not be too surprised to discover that God views authority differently than we do. The focus for God is not what is being said, but who is saying it. It's not what the rule is. That's not the issue. However simple or sensible or not the rule may be, that's not really the issue. The issue is who made the rule. And if God made the rule, or it's authorized by someone who he authorized, that's authority. If we understand that what we are being told or asked to do doesn't really matter, what matters is who is telling you to do it. Your response to the authorities you can see and who are around you in your life is a reflection of your response to the supreme authority of the one you cannot see, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Respecting authority then, whether it's governmental authorities, whether it's, you know, the police, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's a parent, your boss, whoever it might be, respecting authority is a reflection of your respect for God himself. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, we learn that God has put Christ far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. See, Christ has all the authority. He has all of it. He is above all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion, every name that is named. That's Jesus Christ. We must, if we're going to walk the way that leads to life, submit to that authority. God's revealed authoritative word must be obeyed. It must be, to be obeyed, it must be learned. And we're offering you the opportunity to do that. We love to study God's word at Eastside. We want you to study it with us. We have a free Bible correspondence course, actually more than one, that you can go sign up for at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go there, click on the study at home tab. And I think we have about three Bible correspondence courses that help you learn what the Bible says, what God is saying to us, speaking with his authority. We need to study to show ourselves approved of God, workmen that are not ashamed by handling aright the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. So let's think about our attitude toward authority today, and let's try to get in line with God's authority and understand that we are under God's authority and respect that not only in the way that we view the scriptures, but also the way that we view authorities that God has ordained around us. We thank you very much for tuning into the program today. Hope you have a great week as you strive to walk the way that leads to life.